You're very welcome to our special visitors' night. It's lovely to see the hall so really well filled. We weren't sure how many ladies would be coming tonight, so it's lovely to have to put extra chairs down into the aisle. A special welcome to our speaker tonight, Jeannie. She's coming to share a word of testimony, and we have some of the young people from Hillsborough as well, and they're going to be singing. So we're in for a real treat tonight. If we could start with our opening hymn, ladies, In Christ Alone. Now, it's inside Songs of Victory. It's a leaflet on the inside. Hopefully you'll all be able to find it. You might have to share. The young people keep taking these out and they keep falling all over the church, so... Have we enough to share? Everybody can see, yes? Funny feeling in here is going to get very warm, so if you are beside a window, if you wouldn't mind maybe just reaching up and opening the window that's beside you, or maybe it's just very warm up here, I'm not so sure. If you do feel too warm, maybe we should strip off a few layers, maybe scarves and whatever, so maybe I'll have to do that shortly. It's lovely to have you all here, as I said earlier, and such lovely singing there. That's one of my favourite pieces. And a number of years ago, we were involved with a youth group from America. They had come over to do some outreach work in a church that we were in. And one of the girls sang this piece, and that was the first time that I really had heard it. And sadly, we'd heard a couple of weeks after she'd gone back to America, she was killed in a road traffic accident. So it's a piece that's very close to my heart because of where I heard it and who it's associated with. But such tremendous words, and that was really beautiful singing, ladies, to be able to open our meeting with tonight. I'm going to ask my friend Colleen if she will come up to the pulpit and open our meeting in prayer. Colleen's one of the youth workers with Reach in the Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church. She's also a very, very dear friend. We've been through an awful lot together, university together, and we've been through helping each other with weddings and children and teenagers, and one of her daughters is with her here tonight, so her daughter Amy. So it's lovely to have Colleen with us tonight. I'm just going to ask her now if she'd come up and open our meeting in prayer. Thank you.
My friend Barbara's just after asking me, am I not frightened to come up here and open in prayer? And I said, well, I'm actually more frightened of Marcella than I am of getting on in front of all of you. Let's pray. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him, and faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Hey Lord, we just thank you that where two or three are gathered, Lord, here you are in the midst of us. We thank you already that we can feel your presence here with us tonight, Lord, and it's going to be a real evening of blessing and thankfulness for all your faithfulness to us, Lord. Just ask that you'll take away the nervousness of all those who are taking part tonight. We pray for the FAME team, Lord, and help the girls to stand strong and firm in the knowledge that your loving arms are around them, holding them up, Lord. We take this opportunity to thank you for the Reverend Dunlop and for all the work he's done in Kenya with the FAME Orphanage, Lord. And just ask that you'll give the team travelling mercies as they go to evangelise in the summertime. We just pray for Jeannie, Lord, and we thank you for her. And what a pleasure it was to find that the girls had already met Jeannie before tonight, Lord. And that just felt as part of your will that she was here for us, Lord. Be near her, Lord, and take away the nervousness that she may have, Lord. We just leave this meeting in your hands, Lord. Just help us in everything that we would do this evening and tomorrow morning when we wake up, Lord. And thank you for your love for us, Lord, so much so that you sent your Son to die for us. In your name we ask all these things. Amen.
Well, as has already been mentioned, the girls tonight here are to represent FAME. And for anybody, I thought I would go on the internet tonight just to, before I came out, just to make sure that I had a few facts and figures from the work that they're involved in. So it's Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavour. I'm sure some of you have heard it or maybe are associated with it already. It's an independent mission formed in 1996 by Mr. and Mrs. Alan Dunlop. And I have a personal connection with the FAME project in Kenya, as one of our families from school went out a couple of years ago to actually take over the orphanage and to run the orphanage. Initially, when Rodney and Alma and the children left our wee school, I teach in a small school in County Tyrone. We only have four teachers and we have 100 boys and girls. And whenever we were losing a family, at that stage there were two of the boys and girls at school, and then there were another two to come to us as well. So at that stage, to lose a family of four, we were absolutely devastated. But this was also a family who had been very much part of our school life. Anything that we'd been doing in school, the Davisons were always very much in support. So we were devastated as a school to lose this wee family. And we did sort of hope that they were only going away for a year, but very soon we realised, when we were getting photographs from the children and we were getting letters from the children, very soon we realised that this was going to be a long-term thing for the Davison family. And I think the children are just absolutely loving life in Kenya, and they've had so many wonderful experiences, and the family have been really used by God. So they're out in Kenya, and the girls here are going out in August time with a team from Hillsborough Free Church, but I think maybe some of the people from Cookstown maybe are going as well. So they're going out actually to work in Kenya with the Davison family. Basically, they help those who are in need through medical aid, child rescue, evangelism and famine relief. and just on the website tonight it said that 95% of people who come to them for medical aid receive some kind of medical help. At present in the orphanage there's 175 children, and the four Davison children, from what I can gather from photographs, are the only four wee white faces. The rest of the children are obviously all very dark, and they just run about and mix in with the rest of the children in the orphanage. So it's lovely to see how they're really developing and maturing. In 2010, there was a special famine appeal through the centre, and they were able to help 4,000 of the poorest people in that area. And they also set up a project of giving out seeds into the community so that the people could actually then grow their own vegetables and things. So the young people are here tonight. They're going to represent the theme, some of the team that's going out. And we're really looking forward to their singing and sharing what the Lord has laid on their heart. They've also got some CDs to sell. So if you like what you hear, maybe you could support them in that manner. And as well as that, we would like to have a collection for the team going out to Kenya as well. And we have some collection boxes at the back of the hall for your free will offering if you would like to whenever you're leaving. So at this stage, I would like to ask the girls just to come up onto the pulpit, and I'll pass you on the steps down, and they're going to bring their first two pieces.
Just so we're getting ourselves sorted out where we're going to stand here, I'd like to, on behalf of our team going out, I'd really like to thank Mrs. Wilson for inviting us along tonight and for the opportunity to come and sing here and share with you what we're going to be doing in Kenya. She sort of stole my thunder a wee bit because Colin was like, get you up and tell them like what you're going to do and everything. So I had myself all psyched about what I was going to say. But basically, yeah, we're going out on the 4th of July to the orphanage and the health clinic out in Kenya. There's 18 from our church and then another 12 from Cookstown. I think there's 32 of us all together going out, so it's a fairly big team, so it is. I think mainly what we're going to be doing is the girls naturally will be working with the children. Mainly, as been said, there's 175 children in the orphanage, so it's a big undertaking. And we'll be working with them and doing work in the school with them. And I think we're going out into the local community too, into the local schools. And through like evangelism and stuff like that, and then playing with the kids and having a bit of fun with them and just being with them. I think the boys probably will be doing a bit more physical labour. I don't think maybe the boys would be just as fussed on that. Now they'll be it's a big site. I think it's about a 20-acre site out in Kenya, so the perimeter fence needs a lot of work done to it. So I think that's what the boys will be doing mainly. Never know, we'll maybe give them wee hands, you know, show them how it's done now and then. But, yes, yeah, so sorry, what we've decided to do, because all of us that are going out, apart from the leaders, we're all students, so it was agreed that we'd do a bit of fundraising and try and help us out a wee bit, because we are students. And we produced the CD, it's called Light of the World. This is it here, so I'm sure you'll hopefully, maybe if you have any spare change with you tonight, you can maybe buy some at the end. There are 5 only, because I know ladies like bargains. So they're reduced a wee bit tonight, so just a 5 for the CD, and then with a wee cookbook too, if you're feeling really up for it tonight, a wee cookbook, and it's all local people giving all the recipes, and also there's some really good recipes in there, I have to say, so there are, that's a 5 too, so the 2 for £10, handy enough, simple math, we'll keep it simple. So again, I'd just like to thank you very much. This first piece we're going to sing is I Will Offer Up My Life, or Light of the World, the title of the CD. And you know, the aim of this missionary trip, it's great going out to Kenya and working with the young people and all, but originally, you know, I think our minister and our elders were very keen for young people to go out and see what it's like to be in the mission field. Mr. Dunlop and his wife Arian went out whenever they were about they're about 40 years of age. So that was a big one, like literally, it is in the middle of nowhere. If any of you are associated with FAME, you'll know it's not linked. They didn't go under a mission board. They set it up independently, and it really is in the middle of nowhere. So to go out into somewhere like that, a completely different country, is a massive step of faith, which I'm sure quite a few of us here will never have any experience of. So we're going out to see what it's like to offer up your life and really and truly offer up your life to God and to work for Him in such difficult circumstances. So I will offer up my life. Tail on that one, I didn't even realise that. Bit long winded. The second piece we're going to sing is "Oh to See the Dawn," and as has been said, the clinic seeks to help people through medical aid, famine relief, and just working education. But amongst it all, at the end of the day, it is an evangelical mission. It is a mission to reach people with the word of the gospel. And this piece is about that gospel, how Jesus died on the cross for us and the ultimate sacrifice that He paid for each and every one of us, the Ode to See the Dawn.
To see the dawn.
I think you would make a good salesperson. I don't think there's too many ladies who'll be able to go out tonight past you without a cookery book and a CD. I'm sure you'd agree, ladies, that was beautiful singing. Whenever we were down, there's a wee bit of fumbling at the door when we arrived tonight because we realised that the girls had picked, they were going to sing some of the pieces that I had picked to sing tonight. So we're in for a wee treat later on because the girls have agreed that they're going to sing that piece again, and then we're going to get a chance to join in. It's one of my favourite pieces as well, and I just love singing it. So I was very tempted to join in there, but I thought they would give me funny looks. Sometimes when I'm in church, some of the singers on a Sunday night, Caleb would sit beside me, we sit down near the back, and every now and then I'll get an elbow, because obviously I'm humming or sort of singing on underneath my breath when I don't mean to, but thank you very much, girls. At this stage, I'm just going to hand over to Jeannie and ask her to come and share a few thoughts with us, whatever the Lord has laid in her heart, and then the girls, we'll get the girls to sing after you're finished. Thank you very much.
I should have brought a wee box with me, so I should have. Remember, you girls, I could borrow your sheets. I shouldn't have said that because she'd be trying to sell my pair for £20 instead of a tenner, so she will. Well, I'm sure you'll all agree that that was absolutely beautiful, wasn't it? And really worthwhile work the girls are going out to do, and that work that the Lord has placed our brethren over in Africa. And whenever you see some of the videos, and some, I saw one of the times there was one of the little children and how the whole arm was burnt off them, and we take so many things for granted. And it is such a needy work, but I'm sure you're really encouraged that young people have got a vision to serve our Lord. You know, and that's what it's all about. The psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And isn't that why we're here? We're here to praise the Lord for his goodness. And at the very beginning, I would like to ask you that you would just, in your heart right now, just pray that the Lord would come to speak to you. You see, it is no good if you just hear the voice of me. Because if you hear the voice of me or look at me, well, then you're going to go away and you're going to be very disappointed. But friend, there is no disappointment with my Saviour. And if you would just pray in your heart, "Oh Lord, I draw near to hear what you would have to say unto me," friend, there is no disappointment in him. And may you know tonight that all the glory, honour and praise belongeth to him. He says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another." You know, I wasn't born into a Christian home, but whenever I was three, my daddy used to work in Shepherd's in Banbridge, Joe Martin, maybe some of you know him or remember him. And whenever I was three, he got saved. And I honestly do believe that he thought whenever he got saved that it was his role to enroll me to every single meeting in the town, because that's what it seemed to be like, that we were out at every meeting. And then I want to take you back to 1975. Now, I'm sure you are all shocked that I'm even that old, aren't you? You're meant to nod and say yes. You see, I try to tell myself that. And then I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I'm just sure you keep your mummy right. And I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I'm driving down the road thinking, you know, I don't really look too old. And then she'll go, "Oh, mummy, look at them grey hairs." And she's even went to Tesco's and bought me dye and dyed my hair for me. So she keeps me right, so she does. But it was 1975, and I was the age of four. And it was at the end of my first year in Sunday school. And do you ever get some stick about your name? I'm always getting Genie of the Lamp and Grant Me Three Wishes and all of the rest. But this brother's name is called Theodore Danson Smith. And then I think Genie's maybe not too bad yours now. But he was such a godly man, so he was. And I remember as a little girl sitting in our church and how he said that you must be born again. And how he told the story of Jesus and the story of that love that brought a Saviour from glory to be born of a virgin, to live in this world, to live a sinless life, and how he described the cross. Friend, have we even thought, as the girls are lifting God high tonight in their praise, the story of the cross and how Jesus allowed the men to spit upon his face and he bowed his back and they whipped his back until his back was like a ploughed field. And think about the beard. We all know what it's like, and I don't make light of this now, whenever we get our eyebrows plucked and we're ooh, and yet they pulled the lovely beard from his brow. They played the spitting game, spat upon
that holy face. They played the punching game upon the King of Glory. And all of the time, I was on his mind. You were on his mind. Perhaps you feel no one cares about you. Maybe you have had a rough day and you think, who cares for me? And yet, can you see a Saviour's love? How he died. And that's not the cross what wicked men did. The cross is that while he hung upon that cross, God the Father in his wrath poured every inch of his wrath for my sin upon a sinless Saviour. And Jesus bore my sin on the cross. Don't be letting anybody tell you that you're not loved. Never a man loved like this man. And as Theodore told us, you must be born again. He didn't say, now, you must go to the Free Presbyterian Church, or you must, now, see Sunday morning, we want to see you joining the Baptist, or the Church of Ireland, or the Presbyterian, or wherever. He said, you must come just as you are, as a sinner to Jesus. And it was at the age of 4. Maybe you have prayed that little prayer that I prayed all those years ago. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in this day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you know the lovely thing about that was I was just 4 and he did just that. Do you see, God, he isn't interested in what age we are, what size we are, what denomination we are, what religion we are, what even fancy words we say. He's just interested in our hearts. And as I prayed and asked him to come into my heart, he came in and he washed my sins away. Friend, I wonder, do you know anything about that? Can I share a little story with you? And I had a cousin and his name was Gary. And whenever I say this in love. And if you are here tonight and maybe you do not know where you stand with the Lord, well then I praise God that you're here tonight and we're all friends together. But maybe God has a little word for you tonight. Remember, he cares for you. And just over a year ago, I stood out my back and I had a cousin and his name is Gary. And I remember saying, Gary, you know, you need to get right with the Lord. And my cousins all run from me. I don't know why. I'm always torturing them whenever they see me. They think, oh no, here she goes again. I'm going to ask me to go to another meeting. And maybe that's the way you feel. Maybe somebody has maybe tortured you to come here tonight. Oh, that you can maybe just even look past that and see how they care so much for you that they would invite you here tonight. And I remember Gary, he stood out my back and he put his arm around me and he said, you know, Jeannie, I don't want you to worry about me now. And I says, why is that, Gary? And he said, now, I am going to get saved. Is that you tonight? In your heart, you say, I am going to get saved. And I know with all of my heart that he was not fobbing me off, that he really believed that he was going to get saved. But here's what the devil will tell you, not today. And yet the Lord says, today if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. A short time after that, just approximately a year ago, there was a gospel mission, so there was a... It started off in the Orange Hall and ended up in Banbridge Baptist. So it did, and actually it was in Elam during the week, so we're all around the place and it was great. But there was a bunch of young people and they had went round and they were doing the invitations, so they were for the gospel mission. And somebody took a little invitation and they popped it through Gary's door. Now it did not say on it, God's final invitation. It was just an invitation to a gospel meeting with also a little gospel track. That was on the Tuesday. Friend, the gospel mission was to start on the Sunday. And before that gospel mission had begun, I had stood at an open grave and buried my cousin. And in his heart he believed that he would come. And the devil told him there's plenty of time. And now the gospel mission still hasn't started. And we're sitting around the table on the Sunday afternoon and the phone went and it's the other side of the family now, so it is. The gospel invitation went into his home just over 30 years of age. It did not say God's final invitation. Do you hear his voice? This could be his final. My spirit does not always strive with man. And the news was, that was Wednesday that went through that door. And Sunday he had died. Friend, if you hear him speak tonight, listen. Listen to the love of a master, the love of a saviour that shed his blood for you.
So I could say that as a little girl, it was, I suppose in many ways it's really a lot easier to walk with God when you're a wee girl. I remember, girls, I was picked to sing in a group. Now, Lorraine knows the way I could sing, and there's not a chance Lorraine would have me singing in a group. Sure you wouldn't, Lorraine. But lo and behold, this lady, she decided she would get this little group together, and I don't know whatever possessed her, but she chose me to sing in it. And I remember we were practicing for Children's Day, so we were, and we were singing that little song, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, I'll be a sunbeam for him. And then whenever we got up at the front, and this other children's, I think it's about 8 years of age at this time, I really thought to my heart, well, you know, I really want to be a sunbeam for Jesus. And if I shout this out at the top of my voice, well, then he'll know that I want to be a sunbeam for him. So the lady was playing the piano, all lovely, or the organ, all lovely. And I start shouting, a sunbeam, Jesus. And she was giving me the evil eye to be quiet. So she was. But I never listened to her, so I didn't. And then I went into high school, and I can honestly say that I went into high school with good intentions, but we have a little saying here in our land, don't we? And that is that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I better watch, because I've already heard there's two teachers here, but I'm left school now, so there's not really anything I can do on me. But whenever I was meant to be in cleaning out the cookery rooms, cookery stores, I remember telling my friends their need of salvation. And I really, as a wee girl, used to say, John 3:16, this was my testimony, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He used to testify, and you know what I'm saying? Oh, look, I should have used this, so I should have. That maybe would have been more better, wouldn't it? Because that's what they, I never noticed that there, now that's what they used to do. They used to have a wee box for me to stand on, so they did. But then, you will know, and if you are saved, you will know this. If you are blood washed and walking with the Lord, we have an enemy on our back. And that enemy's goal is to annoy us, is to distract us, is to keep us from doing the master's business. And if you are not saved, the enemy is here tonight, and he is planting seeds in your heart to keep you away from God. And the enemy came to me, and he would have said, Jeannie, what about your friends? They're doing this and they're doing that, and you're not allowed to do any of these things. And what does he do? He paints this picture for us, doesn't he? And he makes us look at other people. It's a bit like the mothers, and we're sitting in church, and we can't get them to sit quiet, and we look at everybody else's children, and we think, why are they saints? And we haven't got saints. And what he was doing with me is he was making me, I was looking at my friends and I was thinking, oh, they're having such a good time and I'm not allowed to do anything. And isn't that what he does? If you went to the coach, I'm not telling you to go into the coach now, but if you went to the coach on a Saturday night and just looked at people going in, and what are they doing? They're laughing, they're maybe mucking around, they're partying, and everything seems well. But if we could go to the homes on a Sunday morning, on a Monday morning, and pull back the curtain, what do we see? Broken lives. And the devil took my eyes to look around me. And I thought, oh, you know what? One wee drink wouldn't do me any harm. And if the devil can get one foothold into your life, before you know it, he's wedged a hole in. And I started at the age of 13, I went to disco, so I did, and I wouldn't have been allowed to go, but my older sister, she covered up for me, and I went, and it was around that age that I took my first drink. You know the little saying, sin will take you further than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay, and you never, at least I never, ever imagined that I would stoop so low. Do you see, I thought, I am blood washed, I am blood bought, and I am ready for heaven, and as long as my daddy doesn't find out, I'll be okay. But that's a lie from the pit. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And I thought, one drink won't do me any harm. The devil didn't tell me. That was the age of 13. At the age of 15, my dad, he would be coming in to see me. I remember lying in bed terrified. And the reason why I was terrified is because I knew my mommy had just broken the news to him that I was already pregnant.
and sin had taken me down a road, a sunbeam. Friend, what sort of a sunbeam was I? As Daddy opened the door, I'll never forget the shame upon his face. And don't be too hard on him now, because if your wee daughter came in to you and said that, wouldn't it just break your heart? But I'll never forget the love in his heart. Whenever he put his arms around me and he says, Jeannie, the world will beat you, but I won't. I had that wee boy then, Kyle, on there. Oh, this really makes me feel old. He'll be 27 this May, so he will. And my daddy used to work in the Mays prison, so he did, and he was a medical officer, and you weren't really meant to socialise with the prisoners, but you know, now it's closed, you can tell anything, so you can. And there was this prisoner, I never met him before, so I didn't, but maybe someday I'll come across his path. And you know one of the big old handkerchiefs that the Isle Boys, Paul probably has one, has he, Lorraine? Because I know Gordon does, so he does. One of the big old handkerchiefs. Well, what he had did is, and you know what? Man cannot create an anxious thought. And my Heavenly Father, even though I had disowned him, even though I had put him to shame, he put it into a brother's heart to send me a handkerchief with a message of love. There was a cartoon character on one side, and then the other side, it said, come. Are you broken-hearted, sister? Jesus says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And what am I going to do for you? I promise I will give ye rest. Remember pinning it up on the back of my door. But the truth is, instead of running to him, I just kept running from him. And days turned into weeks, turned into months, turned into years. And then I became pregnant again. And you're going to say, praise the Lord, she's not my daughter. And it is true that we all can think of funny things that we've done in the world, isn't it? Maybe you're saying, oh, here, she's going to paint the darkest, blackest picture she can of sin. Well, I'm not. You know why? Because that's not what this book says. This book says that there is pleasure in sin. That's what the Word of God says. And every one of us could tell a wee funny story. I remember just before I was getting married, I was in the kitchen, and by this stage, you see, the devil didn't tell me that one drink would lead to me having an addiction to alcohol. The devil didn't tell me that one drink was going to destroy my life and shackle me by like chains of this booze in my life. And I was sitting in my kitchen, and it was a Saturday or Friday night, and I think it was a Friday night, and it was the week before I was getting married. And this man came from next door, he was visiting next door, and I found out that, bless my heart, he could get me a few chickens, and they were only going to cost me £1 each. Now, we'll see if you do as well as what this man done out of me. So I thought to myself, well, this is great, and I ordered a few wee chickens. And the next morning, my husband, now Gordon, he said to me, Jeannie, do you know how many chickens you ordered? I says, aye, but nobody in the right mind would bring me that amount of chickens. Sure, they would know I was drunk. Well, he was meant to come the next Friday night at whatever time it was, and lo and behold, the next Friday night came on. And I opened my back door and I nearly fainted, because in came one box of chicken and two boxes of chicken, and before I knew it, there's 50 chickens on my kitchen floor. And we can all do that, can't we? There is pleasure in sin, but you see, we forget the ending of it. But it's only for a season. The devil didn't tell me that that drink would take me down that road. One day a school phoning, Miss Martin, have you forgot to lift Kyle? Mummy hadn't forgot to lift him. Mummy is full drunk in bed. Mummy going to the school with the carry-out bags. Mummy shackled by this booze. See, the devil didn't tell me that. In fact, there came a stage in my life, and I can just describe it like this. I was so, so low that it just seemed as if I had to reach up to touch the very bottom. Is that you tonight? Is your life a mess as mine once was? Well, you see, if it is, you're in the right place, because Corrie Ten Boom put it well. She said, there's no pit too deep that Jesus' love isn't deeper still. And what did he do?
It was on the 12th of November, 1995, almost 18 years ago. I was in my living room. Well, I started off in my bedroom and it was just like a wee tug of war. And I remember thinking, I need to get right with the Lord. You see, my life was a mess and I had nowhere else to turn. But the good news was I didn't need to turn to anywhere else. Only my Saviour. You know where he was? He was exactly where I left him. He did never run away from me. It was me ran away from him. And I remember just getting up and going down and kneeling at my settee and praying. See, the devil will throw, oh, you couldn't keep it. You're right, you couldn't keep it. And he would have said to me, Jeannie, how could you give up the drink? You couldn't even give up the drink along with your mate for Lent. How could you give up the drink for the rest of your life? Well, I couldn't. But you see the good news? The Bible says the battle is not ours but God's, and I can't but he can. And whatever lie he's telling you tonight, you're right, dear friend. You can't keep salvation, but you can come the way that you are. Come unto me. Come, and he will keep you. And I just prayed and I asked the Lord to take me back. And I can honestly say, you know that wee course rolled away and the burden of my heart rolled away. I can honestly pray, say that the second I asked him to forgive me, he did. Isn't that wonderful? I want you to think of this love now. Because ladies, I'm sure you're not that much different than me in not being this way anyway. The second, years I trampled that precious blood. I had no excuse. I knew the gospel, but I didn't want to know it. And the second I asked him to forgive me, he did. See, if my husband does something on me, I like a wee bunch of flowers before I forgive him. And see, I knew he weren't that much different than me. And yet the second. And what did he do? It says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life. He says, oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And our God is not a God that he lies. Whenever he promises to give us life, what does he do? He gives it to us more abundantly. Now we're in trouble, because that was almost 18 years ago. And if you love the Lord, well, you will know, well, every day is an adventure with our Saviour. But I'll not keep you that much longer, but I'll just share what the Lord has laid upon my heart for tonight. You see, isn't it true that in our Christian life, I wish I could tell you, sisters, that I have not failed the Lord in these almost 18 years. But the truth is, I fail him every day. But I can say that my Father has never failed me. You see, when he promises that he's going to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, well, he's the best friend you could ever have. And isn't it true in our Christian life that we're sometimes on the mountain, and boy, isn't it good to be on the mountain, and our hearts could nearly burst. I remember years ago, my little daughter, the one, you know, with the herd, well, she was in primary one, and the teacher came to me and said to me, Mrs. Graham, Carolyn has been picked for school around the corner. And I thought, oh, isn't that great? And I was thinking, what is school around the corner? And I couldn't wait to got home to find out what it was. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, whenever she goes on to this school around the corner, let her say something to glorify you. Now, I knew not to say anything to her because I knew, well, I'll explain it like this. I said, Carolyn, whatever you do, as soon as you sit down, make sure your socks are pulled up. So she comes out and she's a wee blonde pink tail and she said, jumps up on the seat like this here. She looks up at me and she pulls her socks up. And Frank Mitchell, he said to her, Carolyn, what are you going to be whenever you grow up? And she goes, I'm going to be a missionary. And he said, he was very gracious. He said, are you going to spread the good news? She said, I am. And he said, where are you going to be a missionary? She goes, in the mission field. And I'm sitting there bawling eyes out, just like a mother I saw tonight who was, maybe there's a mother, somebody who was so pleased with these ladies were singing. Have you told the Lord that you're going to be a missionary? What is a missionary? Sure, a missionary is just someone that tells someone else about God. Every saint of God is a missionary. But is it true in our Christian life that we can be in the darkest, deepest valley? And maybe that's you tonight.
You see, you could come in here, sister, with a smile as wide as the ocean, and yet you could have a heartache just as deep. And there's times in our Christian life, and we'll maybe even question, and I believe it's okay to question because he's our father, and what child doesn't ask a parent questions and say, God, why? Why have you allowed this to come into my life? It was just a little bit like David. And if you think back to David and Jonathan, and you all know the story. David has been anointed king, but he's not yet on the throne. And here's Saul, and Saul hates David at this stage. And Jonathan's David's best friend. And Jonathan says, I'm going to go to my dad, and I'm going to see. So is he after you? Is he going to kill you? And he says, you wait there. Where was he to wait? He was to wait by a stone, the stone of Ezel, the stone of the way. And he says, if whenever I come back in 3 days, if the arrow go beyond, you will know that the Lord hath sent you away. And imagine David, and he's probably standing by this stone, and he cannot understand what's going on, and his heart's probably going like that, this, and he's thinking to himself, oh, I hope he's not going to send me away. And he can't understand. And in 1 second, the arrow goes beyond the stone. And David's heart is broke. And perhaps in that moment he says, why, God, why? Why are you sending me away? Why is this happening? Am I not meant to be the next king of Israel? And what did he spend the next 8 years doing? Hiding like an outcast in the caves, being ran. King Saul was running, trying to kill him for years. And it was a time in David's life where he could not trace God's hand. Is that you today? And yet in that time, sister, we must trust his heart. Are you blood washed? Trust the Saviour when he says that he loves you so much, sister, that he would not allow one tear to fall from your brow unless, or from your eye, unless it was for his glory or for our good. Are you at the stone of Ezel? David had a choice when times got hard. Either I go the way of the Lord, or else I just give up. When you cannot trace his hand, you must trust his heart. I'm going to finish with this story, because maybe you're thinking, ah, Jenny, talk is cheap. Can you not trace his hand? Has a bomb come into your life, and you cannot understand why? Just a little over 3 years ago, I have 4 children now. Kyle, who is almost 27, Ryan, who is 18, Carolyn, 16, and Aaron, who is 10. And Ryan, at this stage, he was now 15. And I could notice whenever we went to do the Bible reading with him and all, I could notice that things were just not right. And I didn't tell anybody my feelings, so I didn't because, and this is the truth, it was because of pride that I didn't tell anybody. You see, I wanted people to think, oh, this is great, it's a perfectly family here. But I knew things were desperately wrong. It was the day after Boxing Day, and we had come home from church, and I remember Ryan saying, I'm going to do this. And I said, no, you're not going to do it. It's the Lord's Day, and you're not doing it. And that resulted in an argument, and he left our home that night. And whenever he left our home, I had no one else to turn to, only my father to keep him safe. And I remember praying and pleading with God, oh, will you keep this child safe wherever he is tonight? And he had left her home for 5 days at that time. And whenever he came back, I only confided in 3 friends. And the reason being, it was full of pride. And I remember thinking, as things got worse in our home, this wasn't the way it was meant to be, Lord, now. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done the other, and this isn't the way it's meant to be. And maybe that is you, and you're saying, Father, have I not honoured you? This isn't the way it is meant to be, and you cannot trace his hand in your life today. Oh, that we would trust his love and trust his heart. And it came to the 22nd of February. And I remember he had just got a letter from the police because now he was getting charged for assaulting a young man. And this was a wee boy that whenever he was wee, he started up the children's meetings in my home. And I always was. Now, he was always a rascal. Say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But he was always a rascal, but I always saw how God's love was in his heart. And I'm sitting and I'm saying, God, I don't know what's going on with this child, but would you give me a word from you for him? And I remember I just opened the book like that and said, God, give me a word. I went up and this is exactly the word the Father gave. He said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, do you hear the Lord's love? He's not coming out with a big stick now. Can you hear his tenderness? My son. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from them. I don't believe Ryan heard a word that the Lord spoke to him that night. Oh friend, if you hear the word, open your ear and heart to hear what he's saying to you. The next morning I'm driving in the car and I'm begging the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, I just want you to stop him in his tracks, because I knew things were desperately wrong. And whenever I got to school, I remember phoning him. I usually only did this if I'd been shouting and I was feeling guilty. But I phoned him and I want you to see in every little detail the providence of God. And whenever I phoned him, I said, Ryan, I love you, 3 times. He set the phone down. Then I went into the nursery. I used to be a nursery school teacher. And this Ryan McKee, he's now a minister, and he came in and he said, I said to him, Ryan, what were you preaching on this morning? And he goes, oh, Jeannie, just the prodigal. And it was as if the Lord says, now, Jeannie, you're going to have to let him go. And then the lady that was working with me, and she had no idea what was going on, because, see, I wasn't telling, so I wasn't. And she came over to me. I have my house in the market. I still have it in the market, but Lorraine, the Lord has promised, so I'm still waiting. Lorraine's heard this for years. And she had photocopied a daily reading, and one of them was to encourage me about going into the promised land. And then she said, see that there, Jeannie, that's not for you. That's about a lion. And whenever I read it, oh, why do we read the word of God each day? Because we do not know what a day will bring forth, and yet our heavenly Father knoweth all things. And it said, and there came a lion. And it talked about David the shepherd out looking after the lambs, and how a lion came to steal the lamb. And the lion had the very lamb in its mouth to rip it asunder. And the shepherd David got up and took the lamb out of the lion's mouth. And it said in this reading, whenever the lion comes, see it as God's opportunity in disguise. And sisters, my heart near sank. And I was thinking, oh God, what is going to happen? And then I went home. And the other daily reading was about the storms of life. And that afternoon I went from one daily reading to the other. And then just a little bit after 6 o'clock, I decided, you know, I need to phone him. And it wasn't unusual for a 15-year-old boy not to be home at that time. But whenever I phoned him, there was no answer. I want you to think of the reading the night before, the prayer in the morning, the prodigal son, and there came a lion, the storms of life, and now me phoning. And then this phone call rang back. And the lady on the other end of the phone said, I'm sorry to tell you, your son Ben's here. And I said, no, my son's not called Ben. No, she says, your son Ben. Ben is here. And you see, if I hadn't phoned that house at that time, or that phone at that time, for a short time, the police were going to be looking for Ben's mummy and daddy, and not for me. But can you see how the Father works it all out in our behalf? And she said Ben and Jason, and as soon as she said Jason, I knew that she was talking about my son. I says, Nicola, where do you live? She said, Penley Park. I used to live there years ago. It's like a monkey puzzle. I knew exactly where to go to. And this is how the offence unfolded. Whenever I was saying, I love you, he was on his way to Mitch from school. Then they couldn't find the marijuana, so they decided they would take some tramadol, because there's opium in tramadol, but it's very slow releasing. So the boys just kept taking tramadol after tramadol, and there's a little two-seater sofa, and one boy's on this side of it, and Ryan's on this side of it, and the two boys are unconscious from 10:30 that morning. Now can you see the tender hand of my Saviour? Because you know if you go unconscious, your limbs automatically go like that, and yet God in his love kept him lying back, keeping his airways open all that day. I remember going in the ambulance, and the man putting one injection after another injection after another injection, and all the time God said, and there came a lion. God's blessing in disguise, Jeannie. And I remember praying outwardly, Lord, you have promised me. Sister, is your heart broke because of that child? Have you got a word from God? Because God is not a man that he should lie. And when he promises that he's going to pour his spirit upon thy seed and his blessing upon his offspring, it's in the bank. We just have to, by faith, believe it. Then he was transferred to intensive care. I remember sitting in intensive care, and the doctor held the bag, and she said, Mrs. Graham, nobody takes this amount and lives. He was on life support. He had a little slip there, but they had the tube down to keep his heart working. And the devil says, you know, Jeannie, it's all your fault. You're far too strict. But listen, sister. What does God say? God says, they must honour me. I will honour. Now, the good news is that Ryan did come out of that. And I really did believe in my heart as soon as he came out of that, that he would say, thank you, Lord. But to be honest, things got worse in our home, because now he knew that we knew he was on drugs. And I can only describe it as this. That the next months were the darkest days of my life, so they were. It was, and maybe that is you tonight, in the darkest days of your life. And I could not trace God's hand here. I remember walking the roads at night and saying, Lord, can you not hear me? You promised me, if I call, you will answer. Another night going into the house, two-story house, and he's out on the window ledge, just ready to go head first. People say marijuana won't kill you. People do not tell you marijuana causes depression, it causes paranoia, it causes anxiety, and it messes with your mind. And it took him to a window ledge to try and commit suicide. But can you see the shepherd in it all? Friday night, office head. Sunday, we gathered in a little back room in our church. I thank God for the people of God that aren't a bit afraid to call upon God. And my brethren wept for my son. And I can honestly say, the second Sunday in May, 3 years ago, the drugs stopped in my home. And what did God say? God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. A little while ago, I got a little text from him. It was a very short text. It was the nicest text I ever received in my life. What did it say? It said, I got saved. Just there, 2 weeks ago. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Just 2 weeks ago, he stood in the open air in the town. So he did. He stood like that. He said, I couldn't lift my head. He said, I was near sick. But this, he was so annoyed then because he couldn't. And this week he was determined that he was going to lift his head and he was going to give out a wee gospel track. Isn't God good? I'm going to end. You see, God promised me. Has he promised you? I'm going to pour my spirit upon them, Jeannie. And where do you see? You know the little saying we have, watch this space? Where do you see? Because our God is a life-changing God. Alan Bartley was having the mission in Lockbrickland. Any of yous go to it? No? Yeah. Brilliant, wasn't it? And to think that here is this ex-druggie coming in, sitting in my living room with big tears in his eyes, saying, Mummy, Mummy, Kyle doesn't understand. This is his last chance. He needs to get right with God. And begging his brother every night to go to that meeting. Kyle walked in. Ryan tried to give him the wee let him in book. and Kelly wouldn't take it. And then on the Sunday came. It was the last night of a 3-week mission, and again Ran begged him to come. And on a word to Alan, he did not know, but he had a message from God, because if you were there, you'll know that he got up and he went. He held up the little Letterman book that Kyle had rejected, and he said, "This is your final chance." Friend, is it your final chance? For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Kyle got to the bottom of the steps. He burst out crying. He came back and he wept his way to Calvary. Sisters, isn't God good? Can you not trace his hand? 3 years later, looking back, I can trace his hand. God closed the door in the nursery. I'm not going to go into this story, for that's another hour. And he showed me, he says, "Behold," and the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have begun to give thee Zion and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit the land." He opened up a mission field in primary schools this year, 43 primary schools and 2 high schools. And that's going into each primary 6 and primary 7 class once a week, 1 hour per week for 5 weeks. And applying about smoking, alcohol, drugs, peer pressure, solvent abuse, and just weaving the gospel in and out. And you see the time of the life that I'm having. I was in a school in Bessbrook, and this little girl said to me, it was a Catholic school, and she said to me, "Do you know John?" And I said, "What?" "Do you know John?" And I said to her, "Hey." And then I said, "Oh, John Hearn is the pastor in the Metropolitan Church in Newry." And she goes, "Yes, John, from the holy place." And I says, "Yes, I know John." And she said, "I saw you there in the summer." See, I never even recognised that wee girl, but she was sitting in that meeting that I was taking in his church in the summer. What did the teacher said to me at break time? He says, "I don't really know all that you believe, Jeannie, but I believe the Holy Spirit is in that room." I says, "Oh, I know he's in the room because he's with me." And you see, looking back, I can honestly say there's not a chance I want to go back to just over 3 years ago. But I praise God, and I wouldn't change it for the world. He took a lot of pride out of me, and he changed my heart. He has changed my life. He has given me a new mission field, the way he's putting it in these girls for this mission work. And God, he is not a failure. Oh, the greatest gems come from crystallized tears. Now I've finished. But tonight, I sat in that meeting and I believed, if my son doesn't get saved tonight, friend, this may be your final chance. My spirit, God says it, will not always strive with man. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm serving a shepherd that has my every best interest in heart, and he keeps me in the hollow of his hand. Come and taste and see that he is good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Just before the girls come, we're having supper tonight, so it wouldn't be a ladies' meeting without some nice supper. I'm not sure if the arrangement's just in the back, just in through here, and then if there's seats in there, you can sit down, and if not, then certainly come back in here again for a time of fellowship. You're all very welcome to stay, and hopefully there's lots of things for everybody to enjoy. Excuse the squished cupcakes, because I squished a few as I was carrying them in, so I had to keep 2 boys from them in the kitchen before I left, and then to arrive here and then to squish them. So I don't mind eating them because they taste quite nice. But the girls are going to come and sing 2 more pieces, And then they're going to sing the pieces they sang earlier, and we're going to join in then, and that'll be our closing hymn. And I think it's in, is it in the blue book, Edna? I think it's a wee inset in the blue, in the red one. Oh, do you see the dawn? It's in the back of the red book. So if the girls want to come and sing two pieces, and then we'll join in with you on the Odyssey of the Dawn. Okay? Thank you. And if I had one of those nice blue t-shirts, I would stay up here.
This next piece we're going to sing is How Deep the Father's Love. We thought this piece would be appropriate as each of us here have a love for God, and we want to go out to Kenya and prove our love for God and work with the children and tell them how much God loves them, and just to help spread his word as much as we can. So we'll just sing this next piece.
Thank you.
would all like to join with us now to sing Oh to See the Dawn.
Thank you.
we'll just give thanks for the food. Our Father God, we thank you that you have promised where two or three are gathered together. Here you are in the midst of us. And Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for every lady gathered in. We thank you for every sister. And we pray, God, that you would meet them at the very point of their need. We thank you for our little sisters that are going out to serve their master in the summer. And we thank you that you have promised to provide their every need. And we pray that you'll bless them abundantly and maybe even call them into long-time service for thee. And Father God, if there's one tonight, even without a Saviour, may they see tonight that Jesus died for them. May they hear you call, and may they respond to the love of Christ. Father, we thank you for this food. We pray that you will bless it to our bodies, and that you will help us, Lord, to enjoy fellowship one with another. And we thank you, God, for Calvary, and for that precious blood that was shed for sinners, and praise God, shed for me. Amen.